With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How's Cole?
Hello. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Winter is here. Today, I think we will talk about one of the unsung heroes of the natural history world, the humble and often overlooked woodlouse.
Wow.
They're really cute.
You say that about everything. And it's your favourite animal, right?
My favourite animal ever.
Wow, it's an absolutely gorgeous day. And I do love the colours out here with the the leaves. So we're in your garden. Beautiful, lush logs, little bits and pieces, moss everywhere. So you're pulling up some moss and you're pulling up... And you've just picked up a beautiful woodlouse. Oh my gosh. What's a woodlouse look like?
Yeah. Well, a woodlouse looks like a woodlouse. I think everybody... It's one of these animals we don't have to describe too much because I think most people will be familiar with them.
Yeah.
I mean, when you lift up anything in your garden, any... bin bag you've left out overnight or a piece of wood that's been left rotten in the garden, you're guaranteed to find these guys.
Yeah.
So we've 45 species of woodlice in the British Isles in the UK and Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, 45. Now, some of them obviously are really rare and very small, and some of them are more common. There's about five of them that we would know and see around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're a serious amount of numbers, and they range in size from like...
The one you have there now is about a centimetre, half centimetre?
Yeah, yeah, about that. They range in size from about a couple of millimetres to just under an inch.
Right.
So the ones that are just under an inch are the ones you see on the seafront when you're sitting having your ice creams, especially at night. You'll see these big, kind of, they almost look like cockroaches, but they actually are woodlice.
It's like they have armour plating.
Yeah, so they are very well armoured. In fact... A fair few of the species have evolved into what we would commonly call roly-polies, which are like basically like what the armadillo does. Mm. It rolls up into a ball to protect itself. Pil millipedes do the same thing. It's an example of convergent evolution when something works for one animal and another animal is living in similar circumstances. They sometimes evolve to do the same thing and look the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so this is a fairly armoured... woodlouse here. It's called the striped woodlouse.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of dark in the centre, but around the edge is this lovely light colour.
Yeah, and that's how you distinguish species really in woodlouse, by the patterns on their body, the shape of the segments, little details that separate them.
Loads of little legs. You've just turned it over there between your thumb and your forefinger, and the little legs are going like nuts. How many legs are there on this one?
So, let's see. We went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven is the
seven pairs.
Yeah. And they are in the segments of bodies.
So one pair segment.
Yeah, more or less. And the way you differentiate woodlice from pil millipedes, which look very, very similar, is the fact that the millipedes have two legs per segment of the body.
Oh, right. Two pairs of legs per segment.
Exactly. Two pairs of legs.
And then there's a little two antennae at the front.
Yep, used for finding their way around. Their mouth parts for chewing up detritus, leaves. They're basically recyclers.
Wow.
So they do all the good stuff we need to do. They have an incredible ability as well to take heavy metals like lead and zinc and copper out of the ground, which is great for clearing out polluted areas. They're very tolerant to like high pollution areas. So even in like factories with mechanical works and garages going on, you'd still find woodlice knocking around, and they do well it is good in the fact that they can clear an area of these heavy metals, but it's bad in the fact that they are a food source for a lot of creatures, so those heavy metals end up somewhere else up the food chain. But it's a testament to how tough they are, and a lot of people consider them. Hello, Mr. Seagull.
He wants just circling above us.
He just wants to be on the critter shed. A lot of people would look at a woodlouse and the first thing they'll think is an insect. I'm going to get up because my hips are about to crack.
My knees are sore.
Yeah. I'm so old. Yeah, the first thing you think is an insect, but they're actually not insects at all. Can you guess what they are?
Now, I'm going to throw out a couple of words. Arthropod.
They are, but they're actually more specifically a crustacean.
Oh, okay. So they used to be underwater.
Yeah, so their closest relatives are shrimps and lobsters,
right,
which is amazing.
Wow.
They still, if I flip this guy over.
I did it, okay.
It's very nice that you just came along. If you look here his backside.
Yeah.
So you have these two appendages here.
Yeah.
And they're used for self-defense. They can spray out a noxious glue and a chemical.
Oh, wow.
So any spiders or kind of centipedes coming along.
I just moved away there.
Yeah, no, well, it's very, very small. We wouldn't even notice it. But if you look just behind this last pair of legs, you can see a white row of things there. That's its gills.
Oh.
So it still retains gills.
Wow. How long ago do they come out of the water, do we think?
300 million years. Jeez. So they really are intermediary species.
Yeah.
As in, like, they haven't evolved as far as insects or spiders, as in developing spherical tubes for breathing or book lungs. They literally still have these kind of gill-like structures.
Can
at the
they
back
use
end.
Them? Like, can they roll around in puddles of water?
If you get them wet, what happens is, if you get a woodlice wet, you'll see it come out. If it falls into a puddle or falls into a pond, I see them at the side of the pond, and they'll come up to the side, they pull themselves out, they'll turn their bum in the air, and they'll put it into the sun to dry it out, because they'll actually drown.
Okay.
Their gills are specifically evolved now to absorb air. There are some species of woodlice that are semi-aquatic, so they can come in and out like crabs. But the vast majority of them are this kind of in-between phase of land and an aquatic animal. They have to be, for the vast majority of them, they have to be in moist environments. There is one species of North African woodlouse that lives in arid areas. Mm. So it's actually like the crustacean that lives in the driest habitat.
Mm.
It's an amazing achievement it has. But what they do is basically they dig these 40 centimeter long vertical tubes into the desert sands. And at the very bottom of them, it's nice and moist. It's exactly the kind of temperature that would be around here.
Mm.
And they go out at night or during the early morning or the evening to forage. They're a massive part of the biomass in the desert because there's not much living there. And these woodlice provide food for all sorts of desert-dwelling scorpions and lizards, and are a really important food source over there.
They're all the animals that make tracks around your tent when you're sleeping
exactly.
in the desert.
Yeah, yeah, you would know. You've been there. So, yeah, so it's mad to think that a shrimp basically is living in the desert.
Yeah.
So
it's incredible.
Yeah, but as I said, in these kind of climates, you'll only find them around piles of leaves, anywhere that's moist, and they munch away.
Mm.
Very interesting creature. I've got a couple of more cool ones to show you. So
well, I was going to say that you being you, we're not only going to look at the ones on the outside of your house, but perhaps once you're breeding.
Yeah, I have a couple of oddballs inside. We'll let this chap go.
Yeah, I think he's done his duty there for natural history education.
There you go.
Yeah. Tucked him back under a log. Very nice. Back into the shed.
Yeah. Oh, there's all my leaves I've spread out.
Oh,
over
yeah,
the,
you're fantastic.
So that'll rot down.
But it looks nice too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. The pond needs a haircut now. I'll have to get all that extra growth out, because if you leave it too long with your ponds, and even the people who built ponds who are listening to the show, even if you have a small pond, it's good to kind of take excess greenery out.
Mm.
So leave a little bit in, but if it's starting to die and to rot away, just take it out, because you don't want your pond filling up with too much decaying matter, you know?
Right.
Well,
Walking into the shed. Here we go. It's good to be back, isn't it? Nice to be back in the shed. It's been a while.
I'll take off your jacket, actually.
Yeah, I'm taking off. So we're back from the glamour of our road trip to Cork, the Cork Podcast Festival.
Yeah, that was great fun, wasn't it?
It was great fun.
Really, yeah. And thanks to everybody who came down to see us. And yeah, it was really, really good fun. I had a ball.
Yeah.
Everybody was so sound as well.
That was brilliant. So roly-polies are...
Oh
my gosh. Okay, so again, we have in front of us the quintessential big Tupperware box, really big plastic box, a couple of feet wide, and... Inside.
These are French roly-polies.
Oh la la.
Yeah. So I got this population from France. But these are beautiful little...
Now they look very... Well, they look similar but different to the ones we just looked at outside. So different color, slightly different shape, a little bit bigger.
Yeah. So yeah, they're like... how to describe them? So they look like... I think a lot of people in Ireland would have seen roly-polies. We have them here.
Like, is that a different species of woodlouse?
There's
or
a million different species of woodlouse. As I said, there's 45 different species in it, and some of them are very similar looking to each other. And you want to get your eye. And here's something really interesting to show.
So they're much more rectangular shaped than the little guy we saw outside.
They look like mini. They look like those kind of mini camper vans. From the 80s.
They do.
Don't they? They just trumble along. They have the flat front. They're almost like a high ace. A small little high ace. A grey high ace car or van with seven legs trundling along. And they really just kind of potter along going about their business.
And you have dozens in here on substrate and under. And they're under little pieces of wood and everything in lovely places to hide.
Yeah.
So
they have a great life. I call this Roly-Poly Town.
Yeah.
In the land of isopods. But
they're going around. Oh, look, you've just lifted up a piece of wood with lots of little indentations in it, and it's just loads of them. All different sizes.
Yeah, exactly. So
a lot of legs in there.
A lot of our kitchen waste goes in here. Now, there's actually two species of woodlice here.
All right.
If you look at the small...
Very tiny, white, sort of almost clear.
Yeah.
With a couple of millimetres even, that's all.
And they are a tropical species, and that's as big as they get.
Yeah.
They're adults. So you can see the size variation in between them. Those ones that are the adults are barely the size of double the size of a pinhead, maybe.
Yeah.
They're a tiny little species, pure white, and great for feeding the likes of baby frogs, baby lizards.
Mm. Because, of course, these guys are food, right? That's why you have them.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of these are food. Food for
not for thought, but for other animals.
For other animals. And if you look here, you can see one of these guys. It's in its defense position.
It's rolled up in a ball.
Yes. And it literally looks like a steel ball bearing almost.
It does, yeah. Oh, a little crack has appeared there. They've slightly opened up probably to see what's going on.
So it's completely defended itself there. Also, you can see halfway down its body, this side is slightly grayer than the other. Mm. And that is going to lead to this, which is the exoskeleton molting. And they have a really interesting way of doing it that no other crustacean does. They molt half of their body.
Mm.
They pop out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of days later, they do the other half.
Wow.
So they're never completely defenseless.
Right.
It means they can keep moving, keep rolling. Yeah, it's a very good adaptation for land.
Yeah.
So they'll keep moving, they'll keep rolling along.
What do these guys eat?
So,
will the big ones eat the small ones?
If it came down to it, and if I was just to leave these here forever, they probably would start cannibalizing each other. Mm. That happens in a lot of creatures. Mm. But this kind of bits of wood here, this white wood, this cardboard, all that stuff is great for them, and they'll munch away at that for ages. They'll also eat their own poo.
Okay.
They can recycle their own poo a lot.
Wow.
Because they need copper. Mm. Copper is a real valuable resource to them for making their exoskeleton, and it tends to run through them. So the adults will poo a lot, and the young will hang around with the adults and eat their poo and so on and so forth.
So my description of armour plating wasn't too off.
It wasn't, it's really good defence mechanisms.
A few of them are just landing on their backs there, and they're struggling to get up, but they sort of roll up and then flick themselves over. Yeah.
I supplement these guys now with kind of fish flakes and kitchen food, and obviously they thrive and they do absolutely fantastically well, and they are a great source of food for all my my bugs and or not my bugs, my spiders and my frogs, because they really take on board all the nutrients you feed them. So if you feed them good stuff, you are what you eat. Exactly. Yeah. Obviously, there's no heavy metals or chemicals or anything that goes
apart from out of your iPod.
Exactly.
So a slayer. You pick up a few of them and immediately they turn into those little marbles, ball bearing shaped.
Yeah, and it's a strange thing because
straight away,
if you go on YouTube and you check out, if you're that way inclined, I like the kind of those survival kind of type videos where, you know, foraging and how to get by in the wild.
Mm.
And a lot of people talk about these guys and they call them wood shrimp.
Mm.
The reason they call them wood shrimp is because if the zombie apocalypse happens and we're all starving to death and you're not skilled in catching rabbits or whatever, these guys are actually quite edible, believe it or not. They do carry, obviously, because of the place they have in the food chain, they're eating all detritus and rubbish. You see them open up, they're very cute when they open them, aren't they?
They're very cute, yeah. Just a whole load of them in your palm now.
When they're eating all the detritus and rubbish, they'll pick up viruses and parasites and bacteria.
Yeah.
So it's important that anything like that, any animal that you're going to eat, you want to make sure that it's well thoroughly cooked.
Mm.
But these guys take 2 or 3 minutes to boil up in a pan.
Mm.
And basically they taste like shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of pissy shrimp. Very strong kind of urine kind of smell off them.
So attractive.
Yeah. But it's a zombie apocalypse. You're not going to get a Mars bar. You have to eat pissy shrimps. Pissy wood lice. But I'm not selling this, am I? But... yeah, so they were a source of food back in the day, and they hopefully won't be in the future, but they could potentially be if we were ever stuck.
Mm.
So yeah, very interesting.
You just
creatures.
Have a handful of ball bearings there with little legs sticking out occasionally.
It's mad when you see them just popping their heads out and just trundling off like that. Now there's a regular one in with them. You can see the difference there. He can't.
That's one
up.
From outside, is it?
That's one. That's a regular. You see the difference, the flatness.
Ah, so the woodlouse that we had just outside doesn't roll up to the same extent. Right, I can see that, yeah.
Doesn't roll up
sounds
at all.
Like it just what does they a do, crunch, like for it's an abs crunch, that's it.
And what they do is they tend to play dead like that, exactly like that.
Right.
And if they don't, if they think the playing dead isn't working, they'll leg it. And then if that doesn't work, then they'll kind of produce that very microscopic noxious chemical.
Just looking at this large Tupperware container with all the substrate in it, it's actually quite hypnotic because of just constant, very gentle, very consistent movement.
The most the requests I get on the social media stuff I do is to see how Isopod Town or Roly Poly Town is doing because people love it.
I
should get like
a
team music and get the, you know, like EastEnders and just have a cam. It's just all these dramas, put little hats on them and stuff. You see the here's one here now. Here's a really
you're
interesting
picking up
one.
A white roly-poly.
Yeah. So it's not an albino. It's not a different breed. It's just one of these guys who's recently molted.
Okay.
You can see
it's a lot smaller.
A lot smaller. Yeah. There's a bacteria that infects these, and it's very odd because it needs to replicate itself, so to speak.
Mm.
So what it does actually, it actually changes the hormones in a male. As they're developing, as they're young, and turns them into a female.
No.
And then she will give birth to, or her eggs will all be infected with that same bacteria and go so on and so forth.
That's
which
amazing.
Which will then, as they do, infect other males.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of transition from male to female in these isopods, these little roly-polies and these wood lice as well in general.
That's an amazing adaptation on the part of the bacteria.
Yeah, it is. And it kind of really doesn't do the wood lice any harm because it means that if a male is wandering off to a new area on his own, he's just going to kind of parthenogenetically reproduce and start up a whole new population.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about these guys is because they're not insects and they're kind of closely related to sea creatures, they still have to deal with reproduction, as in they can't lay eggs like and just disperse them out into the water.
So what do they do?
They have a thing called a marsupial pouch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So basically the females have, and you can see it really, it's the wrong time of year, but during the springtime you just see these female wood lice. If you're ever out in your garden, turn one over and have a look and you'll see kind of a yellow pulsating belly on them.
Yeah.
Like a little small yellow balloon. Huh. And inside it is, you know, 200 eggs, depending on the species.
Wow.
And they'll hatch out.
Yeah.
And they'll start actually developing inside.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The pouch.
Oh, wow.
So they're not, they don't hatch out and then just fall out.
Yeah.
They develop for a while. And then she literally gives birth, in, for want of a better word, to these independent little creatures that can kind of wander off and do their own thing. Some of them actually still provide protection for them in the form of kind of a substance, not unlike the lactating insects we talked about many months ago. But yeah, it's a very cool little system they have of looking after their
That's really clever.
Young and giving their young a head start. It's the same with that desert species of I was talking about earlier on. The reason they're successful and their biomass is so massive is because they give parental care. They do that. They take that step. They actually give that kind of extra care, that little...
Just to get them ready to survive as soon as they leave.
Exactly. As soon as they're out there ready to rock, which is a great little trait, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just while you're flicking through your notebook, I'm just staring into this. It's hard to look away because it's so much happening in there.
It's I definitely need to put some kind of street lamps up and and turn into a little town. Yeah, I knew there was something I nearly forgot. They can actually absorb water through their backsides as well.
No.
So they drink through their arse. And they're the regular through their
mouth. Some people talk through their arse, and these guys drink.
They can breathe through their, or they can drink through their arse, which is, I thought was hilarious.
You would.
No.
So tell me how they do that and why they do that.
Well, it's just a way of absorbing water because they might be busy eating at one end, so they can do it that way the other way.
Oh my God, multitasking. That's amazing.
Multitasking, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so
and we all we humans think we're great.
We're fantastic. We have nothing on these guys. They don't actually urinate either.
Oh,
they have a really cool talent to actually just dispel the gases, the urethra, through their exoskeleton.
They fart through their exoskeleton.
Probably, yeah. It's a good way of saying it, and that's probably why they have that pissy kind of taste and smell off them. I often find it funny actually when people say, oh, I was out eating wood lice and they taste like piss, and I was like, how much fucking piss are you tasting? Jesus. I could recognise the smell of it, but Jenny Mac. But so there you go, look at that,
you cracked open another piece of wood and it's full of these little guys.
Yeah,
just now. Moving, come here. How do they breathe? It through those gills, is it?
Yep, so basically they're kept moist and they absorb the oxygen through the air as it's passing through the air, very much the same way.
Sorry, through the gills.
Through the gills, yeah, but from the air, directly from the air, the oxygen comes from, and very much the same way they would have done it in the water. In the water, there's kind of a flapping of the gills, so it's not much of a step up. I think, you know, you could look at your fully aquatic shrimps, then you look at crabs, which are kind of in between, and then probably our next stage will be the likes of the wood lice, because it is that. So here's another dish.
Tupperware dish that you're opening. A big
love these
container,
guys, yeah.
And different species of wood louse.
Yeah.
Oh, very different color.
Yeah.
Smaller than the roly polies.
These are called daisy wood lice because they look like daisy cows.
All right. They're little, sort of slightly speckled.
Yeah, so they're black and white basically.
Yeah.
But aren't they gorgeous?
They're beautiful. Very attractive looking.
And I absolutely love them. And they're quite big too.
Yeah.
Aren't they gorgeous?
They're really nice, yeah. Very much paler and black speckles and very attractive looking. They don't roll up like the roly polies.
No. And these would be a subtropical species, so they need a lot of warmth.
So that's why I'm smelling earth, because the container is moist. So
yeah,
keep it
and
in that
lots of
atmosphere.
Mold.
Yeah.
Because they'll feed off mold and mushrooms and growth like that. Also, you can see my leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my leaves will get recycled from the garden into these tanks. There's a massive thing happening at the moment, a massive movement into keeping isopods as pets, which I am so behind, because you think about it, you need one or two of them.
Mm.
They'll breed like mad.
Mm-hmm.
They're, as you saw there earlier on, hypnotic to look at.
Totally.
Gorgeous little creatures
and
really harmless. Also, they don't need... You know, you don't have to kill yourself looking after them. They don't need much space.
Mm.
So they're quite environmentally friendly. And I think, you know, it's a really cool little kind of hobby that's starting to take off. It's not going to affect wild populations because they're so prolific.
Great for kids, to get kids interested in how the ecosystem works, how things hang together.
Exactly. I mean, one of the first creatures I ever kept would have been these, along with the beetles and all the other stuff. And there's all sorts of different breeds, yellows and reds and crazy colours and different sizes. And, you know, it's a very cool hobby for anyone who's thinking of getting into keeping invertebrates at all.
The more you look at them, the more they do look like crustaceans.
Yes. When you get your head around the fact that they're not insects, you start to think, well, if this was just... I always think if this was a puddle and you saw them... Again, trundling around, which is my favourite word for these guys, because that's
they do
exactly
trundle.
What
yeah,
they do.
They trundle.
The more you think of them underwater, the more it makes sense.
Mm.
And what an evolutionary jump to do that, to take that step, to make a, to decide one day, looks like there's a bit of food up there. Let's take a risk and let's go up there. And then natural selection has just brought them to this point. There's a lovely one.
So much darker than the others, yeah. Just on your hand there, trundling away.
I don't know how I ever got anybody to date me when I'm sitting here going, look at that lovely woodlouse.
Not only date you, but actually marry you and have kids.
Yeah. I tricked her. Yay. Oh, God.
That's amazing. What a treat. What an absolute treat. And it just goes to show you that in your little space outside, however big a space that you have, even if it's only a flower pot on your balcony, you still have a world in there to look at.
100%. Yeah. And these are the force to show up.
Mm.
As I say, I always say it to people, it's like you take your wheelie bins out after a week of leaving them there and you're guaranteed to find worms and wood lice. And then, of course, you know, we're talking about how brilliant these guys are and how cute they are. More importantly, though, they are an essential keystone species in the food web.
Mm.
So these feed everything.
Mm.
Birds. Your blackbird pulling the leaves apart is looking for these guys to feed its young. They're one of the few animals that are still active during the winter time as well. They'll still be out munching on those dead leaves, because the great thing about the leaf cover, which we were talking about when you arrived, is that rotting leaf ecosystem, for want of a better, or habitat, for want of a better word, is warm even under snow because of the chemical reactions, the funguses, the bacteria that are eating away. So that provides heat for these invertebrates, and in turn that means they're still active, which means that Mr. Robin or Mr. Blackbird can come down and dig them out and have a munch in the middle of the winter.
And if you have a monoculture of a grass lawn, then that's not happening.
It's
and
not
birds
happening.
Don't have that extra
exactly.
growth in the winter.
Now you put your bird food out and all that, but it's also good to have natural sources of food that are...
Because there's a lot of protein here, which would...
100%. Exactly.
...be different to the seeds that you put out
yeah.
for the birds.
And also, you know, you can't be there all the time. Mm. People go away or they forget to fill their board feeders. You need these natural, and also frogs and toads aren't going to eat off board feeders, you know. Yeah. And the specialist woodlice spiders, for example, which are quite rare, beautiful little creatures. Yeah. I actually wanted to catch one for you today because I knew we were doing this show, but I couldn't come across them. They are really, really hard to find. I've only known a couple of my pals throughout the country who've seen them, but they're basically these bright orange spiders.
Wow.
And they have huge long fangs, and the fangs are so long is because a regular spider finds it very difficult to get its fangs into that armour plating.
Yeah.
So what the woodlice spider does is it uses its long fangs to flip the woodlice on its side. So then one fang can pierce into the soft underbelly while the other one grips the exoskeleton.
Amazing.
And then it just pours its digestive juice over after envenomating it, and then just sucks it up. So it's a really cool spider.
Incredible.
Which needs these to survive on. Their other great predators are the centipedes, our little small centipedes, which do the exact same thing with their fangs. They'll turn them on their side and they'll...
Wow.
Yeah. You can see
just turned one over there now. You've turned one over now.
See the four white spots under the bone, what you see now?
The legs are moving like
see
hell.
See the four white spots?
Oh, yes, I do, right.
That's
there.
The lungs. Oh, that's the gills.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
I never thought about woodlice before, but now that I look at them, they're fascinating. Like anything, right? You look at them, you learn about them, and you go, oh my God, that's incredible.
All it takes is somebody to show you something is cool, and
absolutely.
Then you're like, this is amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So walk us through what we can do in our gardens or whatever for the winter now.
Yeah, so it's that time of year, I suppose, if you're looking to do something for nature. It's the unglamorous type of year or time of year.
But I'd say pretty rewarding as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the time of year now where I'll chop bushes back and everything because I know I can. There's no boards there. Everything's shutting down. So you can kind of tidy your garden up and prepare it to go wild again next year. Any kind of excess leaves, wood, anything like that, what I'll try and do is find an area to pile it up in and leave it there for the winter and make sure it's tight, it doesn't blow away, because I don't want my place looking like the Addams Family gaff, but you know what I mean, kind of does anyway. But keep it in a nice pile using either wood or some kind of a container that animals can freely get access to and from.
So the container you had outside obviously was a woven basket so it was open on the side so things could come in and come out.
Exactly. So, and right beside the shed here I have I stuck thick bamboo, 4 or 5 rows of them into a square.
Oh yeah.
And I just throw everything in. Now it's not a classic compost heap because I don't really take anything out of it, just rubbish is dumped in on it, and rubbish by as in organic matter from the garden. And it just, over the years, it just breaks down. These woodlice chomp it to bits and demolish it. And because it's made of, you know, bamboo poles and there's gaps in it, my frogs will go in there, the newts will go in there. It's nice and warm. You can get 3 and 4 foot of snow on top of it like we did a couple of years ago, and everybody seems to be fine. I stuck a thermostat in and I think it was still around 12 or 13 inside in the composted area, which is cool. So yeah, stuff like that. Keep all your leaves and your trimmings from your garden. Put them in an area that you can kind of control, and leave them there to rot. Let nature take its course. And then if you find it's piling up over a couple of years, then either mulch it or throw it on your bedding, and it's fantastic. It saves you going to Woody's and paying for mulch or paying for fertilizer. You've made it yourself, and it's just a great way of keeping and giving these creatures a little chance
and keeping stuff out of landfill.
Exactly, 100%. Like unnecessarily, you know, you don't need that stuff in there. Another great thing as well, if you have a lot of patio and concrete in the garden, if you can get your hands on just a few old planks of wood, just leave them lying flat somewhere. And leave them with some, again, leaves on top, and it will just bloom with life. Before you go, actually, we'll record us flipping some of the stuff I have in my front garden if you want to have a look,
absolutely.
Just to show you what's there.
Yeah, but I love the idea that, like, when you come through so much of Dublin and other places, you notice that everything's been paved over for driveways. So I imagine if every home, every house, every driveway had a little blob of greenery, then you're creating a connecting sort of bridge for the animals.
Yep, the way to look at your garden or wherever you're staying, even if you're renting your balcony, whatever it is, the best way to look at it for at the moment with the current state of things is to look at it as an oasis. It's a desert of concrete and you're providing that one oasis. And you know from watching the documentaries and the movies that when you have an oasis in a desert, things will show up because they need the water, the food that's there. So that's yep. essentially what you're doing. And if yep. you can encourage, if you can lead by example first off, I think that's the most important thing. Do your own thing. And then if your neighbour's talking to you and what you're doing and asking questions, you can kind of maybe suggest if you have a community group. A great idea is one person has a garden down the end of a road who has a pond. One person decides to plant a couple of trees. One person decides to keep a hedgerow. Mm. One decides maybe to grow a wildflower meadow mm. in their garden. And they knock a brick in between all their houses to give it a link.
That's brilliant.
And that's a whole mosaic of habitats on a single road. And that can be just you and your poker buddies or your bingo pals or whatever.
Brilliant.
Getting together. Who has listened to this, bingo pals? My God.
You never know.
You never know.
Bingo, you play bingo.
Bingo's hipster now, isn't it? Bingo's hipster. You're bingo pals. You know I do a lot of talking to the old grannies in the community centre. Go out with your bingo pals and feed the frogs. But you know what I mean? That kind of yeah. community-based environmentalism is massively important now and it's easy to do.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and again...
And it's great fun. You get to know people as well.
100%. Mm. It's really rewarding. Mm. Really rewarding. Brilliant. So there you go. Have I sold the brilliance and the beauty of woodlice to you?
You have, absolutely. let's go flip.
Oh, let's go flip.
Okay, just give me.
You want to put your jacket back on?
To reconstruct myself. Leave that there.
My driveway is like anyone else's driveway. It's got the two cars playing concrete. But I did plant like a border, which is kind of like a hedgerow. But apart from that, it's a normal driveway. Now, what I do is to provide a little bit more extra habitat, I get my old planks of wood and I throw them on the bare concrete and just let leaves gather around them.
I'm just walking over to the planks of wood. Right. So we're at the planks of wood and you're lifting one up now, but you're sitting on the concrete.
I just
got my glasses on for this one.
Oh yeah. Now.
Oh, immediately. Boom. Life running everywhere.
See what happens. And if you layer them up.
You have a few of them sitting on top of each other. Yeah, exactly. And they're sort of, they're like decking, so they have ridges.
All decking. Look at them.
Oh my gosh, you've lifted it up now. There's so much life under there.
So there we have beetle larva.
Yeah, all right.
Worms. We've got centipedes, all sorts of ages. You got five or six different species of woodlice.
Mm.
And this is just all on...
And this is like a 2 metre plank of wood.
On bare concrete.
Yeah. Extraordinary.
And the great thing is, as I said, at night time now they'll come out or in the morning.
Yeah.
Spiders. Beautiful spider there.
Oh yeah.
That's a lace web.
Oh wow.
Beautiful. In the morning these bugs will be all out foraging.
Yeah.
At the exact same time that I'll see the robins and the other stuff coming down.
Never brekkie.
There you go.
So fantastic.
Simple and easy.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Yeah, literally just sitting down on top of the concrete. Lovely.
Anyone could be a conservationist.
We're all conservationists. Absolutely. We're all scientists. So, of course, we have big news now that the Critter Shed is now part of a brand new podcast network called The Warren.
Yeah, our new family.
Yeah.
A collection of brilliant Irish storytellers and podcasters. And it's really cool. Really cool to be involved with them.
And if you fancy listening to new types of podcasts, hop over to thewarren.ie. We have amazing array of things to listen to. We have How Do We Sound, a fantastic chatty podcast with Rosamund McCabe. We have Petrified, which is audio fiction, which is really good, due to be produced. We have Meet Your Maker, Liam Garrity talking to people who make great things, like the Muppet Show people, and loads of things in between. What else we got? We got
Dublin Story Slam, which is really funny kind of a podcast with people getting up and telling their darkest secrets on stage, and some funny stories as well. So yeah,
stories of dogging.
Yeah, stories of dogging. Jeez, I should go on and talk about some of the stuff I've seen when out doing surveys.
We have a tiny podcast called Science Drops. Tiny but weighty. I produce that, and it's 90 seconds of little bits of science, and I describe them as cartoons for your ears because they're quite fun.
Yeah. So pop over, have a look or a listen, and you can always rehash the glorious moments we have spent in the wonderful Critter Shed and outside with some of our expert friends.
Brilliant. Okay.
Jesus, where we were first.
Would you would, wouldn't you?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.